Start your day the Torah way in Northwest London. Wednesday, 5th of Iyar, 26th of April, Rabbi Eli Pick Shlita. You are what you eat. This week's Torah way has been sponsored by Family Freifeld. It's by the Simchas Bar Mitzvah of Moshe Freifeld, which took place last Shabbos. Yerotzen Shizke Horov, was Kenov Arav Nachas, and many of you call Yotzei Chalotzeihem.
We are now in the Sefer Vayikra, where we've been reading about animals we can eat, which we may not eat. And although it started in Shemini, we carry on the idea of Tum and Tahara through Sazria Matzora. And this week, at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, it comes back to the same topic again. You have to distinguish to know what is kosher, what is not kosher. Which is the way Kedoshim ends off and talks about Babahem of Oaf. The Netziv actually writes that it's a mitzvah saseh to go out of your way to determine what kind of animal is kosher, what kind of animal is not kosher. You can go to the zoo and say this animal is okay, this animal is not okay, and you're doing a mitzvah saseh. So when we're talking today about you are what you eat, we're not talking about modern nutrition, we're not talking about Kegel and Chulent, but it's interesting to note that the modern nutritionists are recognizing that there is a strong connection between the gut, the digestive system, and the brain. We have here a medical doctor who may confirm. So the expression is, you are what you eat. It sounds better in the German, man isst, was isst. So we're going to have a look at this and start off with a question about food for a chola sheyesh bo sakona. On Yom Kippur, the doctor tells a sick person, a seriously sick person, you have to eat. So the question is, what kind of food do we give him when the doctor says he has to eat meat? Maybe there's some deficiency in vitamin B12 or whatever it is, but the doctor says he has to eat meat. So the Or HaChaim Shin Kaf Ches in Sif Dalot says, Cholesh Yesh B'Sakona Shochtim Lo Ve'Einarim Na'Achileinu Nevela. We shecht and we don't give him a nevela. Now you might ask the question, why is there a preference here to doing Shechita rather than giving a nevela? We know that we suspend the dinim for Cholesh Yesh B'Sakona, a guy seriously ill. So we do anything possible to save his life. V'Chai Bohem. But we give preference to doing a shechita on Shabbos rather than giving him a novela. And you can ask the question, well, you know, Shabbos is an issur sekila. You're doing a melocha, an av melocha of shechita, whereas novela, of course, novela is also, but it's an issur lav. It's lavates malchus. It's not quite the same thing as breaking Shabbos. And you know, in 5 minutes, I can go to the local Tesco Express, get a chicken for £3.99. All right, it's not kosher, but it's to save a life. And it's an novela. And I don't have to go through all this hassle of shechita. And remember, it's not just shechita, it's skinning animals, salting meat, and so on. Nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch says, we shecht. So do we say that we suspend all the rules just so that we should do a shechita? Or, it's much easier, and it's a lesser issur to eat an novela. Certainly it's better to eat kosher foods, so you do the shechita. But shechting, as we said, is an av malocha. Nevela, the issur lav. You could say that Shabbos is called hutra. What's hutra? It means we suspend everything on Shabbos as if it's a weekday. So when a Hatzolah driver goes out on Shabbos, he doesn't have to think about the fact that it is Shabbos. He does whatever is necessary as though it's a Wednesday. All right, there are ways of minimizing it, or if things don't take too long, and you get the guy to help, and so on. But the main thing idea of Shabbos is hutra means, it's as if it's not Shabbos. You're allowed to do what has to be done in order to save life. And therefore, if Shabbos is hutra, then it's as if there's no issur of shechita. But nevela, there's still possibly an issur. Ah, but it's to save life. But that is the Rosh's view about Hutcha. There's also the view of other Rishonim that Shabbos is not Hutcha, but called Dechuya. What's Pshat Dechuya? It's an emergency. It is Shabbos today. We treat it as Shabbos today. But according to the Rambam and the Rashba on the Run, quoted by the Beis Yosef, Shabbos is Dechuya. We only do what is absolutely, extremely necessary. And therefore you might say that Shechita is not really justified. Comes along the Run and says, yes, but the problem with Novella is not that he might eat one kazayis, he might be eating a few kazayisim, and then you're doing a number of isurim. So although you'll say that Shabbos is an isur malacha, isur sekila, Novella, for every single kazayis one is eating, surely that is punishable, and therefore it's preferable to the shechita. But then you can argue back and say, well, shechita is not the only malacha. When you do the shechita, you're skinning the animal, that's a malacha. You're salting the meat, that's a malacha. You're cooking it. You're not going to feed the chola, the sheish, the sakon, or the food without being cooked. So you've got a whole string of malachas taking place. So how can you argue that every single kazayas of novela is a concern when you've got a whole string of malachas here? It's an interesting pill, and my son-in-law Nassanel drew my attention to the Sefer Prosha Strochim, which goes into this in some detail there in Derech HaChaim Drush Yotes. But we won't go down to the pilpul now. We want to concentrate more on the halacha and maybe the Musar aspect. So the Gemara in Yuma says there in Daf Lamates on the base, Aveiro Metamtemes Libo Shel Odom. So when a person does an Aveiro, that has an effect on the person's heart. It has a spiritual contamination.
If he's doing it as a mitzvah, maybe no effect.
We'll come to that. If you're doing it beheta, there are some of the view say that even if you do it for mitzvah or beheta or beones or bikulach nefesh, there is still a timtum halev. It's still affecting the heart. It's like breaking a vase and putting it together again. It will never ever look the same. That is the problem. So the Gemara in Yuma says, Aveira matam temis lila shor, any Aveira can defile a person's heart spiritually. Dechsiv v'nitz meisem bom, as we said at the end of Pasha Shemini, al tikri v'nitz meisem elo v'nitamtem. So tomei v'nitamtem means, gives you the word timtum alev. It means like something which is hidden, something close to your heart, doing something to your heart, which you can't see straight away, it's obscure. And Rashi there says, so semes es hachochma. It affects your chokhmah. You can't even think properly anymore in Kedusha and Tahara if you have eaten something which is treif.
Do they have any origin for this in Torah?
So, the what we're going to explain is that this is not really a halacha, it's midas chassidus, it's musa, and how the musa is brought into the halacha. That is the whole chiddush. Right? So, the Rosh in Avodah Zarah Perek Beis, he warns nursing mothers that if they eat novella when they are pregnant, or any other tray for food, is going to be a problem for their children. That when the child becomes much older, it will become into a bad demeanor and mannerisms. And the Rashba says, this is midas chasidus. The Rashba argues with the Rosh saying, well, you know, if we're concentrating on halacha, and the Rishonim concentrate on halacha, it's midas chasidus. This is not really strict halacha. But nevertheless, it has an effect on a person's heart, and it will affect his behavior. Ah, you might say to me, well, what about free will? A person has bechira, so he chooses between good and bad, and why should what he eats affect him? But that is just like we gave as a moshul, the idea of food being a nourishment in the physical sense. So food can also harm you in the spiritual sense, where it affects your manner of thinking. It affects your bechira and your ability to do the mitzvahs properly. And we all know the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was 3 months old, put into a basket on the water, and Paro's daughter, Bisya, finds him and wants to nurse him. So she brings an Egyptian wet nurse. 100 years ago, they used to advertise in the papers for wet nurses. That the women didn't want to feed their own children, so they got other women to nurse them. So she wanted to get a wet nurse, and Moshe Rabbeinu, at the age of 3 months, spat it out. He wouldn't eat. He would only eat the breast milk from a Jewish woman. And we know the story. Miriam brought her mother, which is quite an irony. So the thing is there with Moshe Rabbeinu, a baby hasn't got to keep mitzvahs. A baby is not higia lechinuch, right? So why should we worry about what you give the baby? And it's not, and the halacha is, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch that you can give a baby nursing milk from Isha Mitzris, as it says. It's okay, lahalocha. But what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He refused to drink. And Rashi says, why? Because one day he was going to be speaking with the Shekhinah. One day he will speak with the Shekhinah. Maharal Tzchiyos says, well, everybody speaks with the Shekhinah. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in his Emes Yaakov, when we bring up a child, we should understand that every single child we have is going to speak with the Shekhinah. All right, says Rav Finkel, the Rosh Hashiv Meir, you might say that your child will not become a Novi like Moshe Rabbeinu. He might not even become a Tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, but he's going to daven. And when a person davens with tefillah, one is speaking with a Shekhinah. So just as Moshe Rabbeinu would not drink this milk because he was going to be speaking later on with the Shekhinah, so every single one of us and all our children are going to be speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Shekhinah. So this is in Yerideh Siman Pei Aleph, where the Ramah brings down, and the Ramah is Halacha, right? He concentrates and he brings it from the Yerushalmi in Chagiga, that although nursing milk from an Egyptian is kosher, strictly speaking, it's kosher just like Chol of Yisraelis. Mikol Mokim, in any case, Lo Yaniku Tinok Min HaMitzris Im Efsha. If it's at all possible, you could feed from a Yisraelis the Chol of Akum, because Chol of Akum, quote, Matamteim Halev. It defiles your heart. It contaminates your heart. Umolid Lo Tevara. It creates a bad nature in a person. And the Taz writes, saying that even if one has a Heta to eat tray for food, maybe the woman is told by the medical professionals she has to eat tray for food, then she should avoid nursing that child and rather use formula or another woman to nurse that child, because there is a spiritual contamination. And we know
from a Jewish woman who's not behaving properly, it's also
a right. So well, the Taz writes that, yeah, one should get a woman to nurse who has Midas Chasidus, not any Jewish woman, because it has an effect on that child. And we know from Tosfos in Chagiga, he brings from the Yerushalmi, there in Chagiga Tzesvav, that the mother of Elisha ben Avuya, who was Elisha ben Avuya? He was a Tana. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. He's quoted in the Mishnayos in Perkei Avos. Yet nevertheless, sadly, he went off the derech. A Tana, can you believe it? He went off the derech. Why, says Tosfos, did he go off the derech? There are a number of reasons given in a very long Tosfos there in Chagiga. When his mother was pregnant, she passed by a place of Avodah Zorah and she inhaled the smell, the fragrance of their so-called karbonos. She smelt it and she ate it. And that had a harmful effect on her child. And that, says Tosfos, is an explanation why Elisha ben Avuya went off the derech.
What's that mean?
And she ate it.
The smell? Or
she ate the food. She could smell the food and she ate the actual food.
How would she? I mean, that's...
As I state in Tosfos.
Yeah.
Halfway down, Chagiga Tesvob. The Ochla. So we can ask the question, do we say that the Aveira is creating the Tintum, that the sin is creating the contamination, or do we say it the other way around, that the Tintum is creating the Issur? Which way round is it? So the Maharal writes, in Tiferes Yisrael Ches, he says, the Torah is not a medical book. It doesn't tell us how to behave for keeping to one's health. So it doesn't forbid things because of Timtum. The Torah gives chukim. So it says, Aveira Matam Temes. Once the Torah has established that something's an Aveira, that Aveira is spiritually contaminating you. So the Shulchan Aruch therefore brings that down, that this halacha of Shabbos is that you should rather shecht with all the malachas and the isurei skila which take place, rather than give a chola the nevela meat to eat, because it will be a spiritual defilement. And this is amazing, because you were asking me, where in the Torah does it say this? This is not really halacha, it's Musa. And it's pounced on by the Baalei Musa. Now, you know, in the yeshiva world, we have a Seder Musa and you have a Seder halacha, half an hour for this and half an hour for that. But the Chazon Ish really says that they're all the same thing. That halacha is Musa. He says in Muna B'tochen, in his Sefer there, he explains that when you learn halacha, it has a Musa effect upon you. And similarly, if you are learning Musa properly, then you'll take the halacha seriously. It's all a mishmash together, when they're not really separate subjects. So, just as we become Just as we become holy with kedusha from doing the mitzvahs, like we say, asher kedushanu b'mitzvosov, that we become holy from doing our mitzvahs, so by doing the averus, and even certain things which are not proper averus, like the nursing milk, we become defiled. Sometimes that food is not even properly osur. So the Mesilas Yesharim writes in Perek Yod Aleph, Ma'acholos asuros machnisin tumah lib belibo of the nafsho. Forbidden foods enter a person's heart and his soul. Ad shekudushoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mistalekes umarcheches mimenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his shechina away from you. So you might say, well, every avera is matamtein. We said this, every avera is matamtein. But what's the difference with food? Because when you ingest food inside your own body, it actually changes your spiritual DNA. That is the effect that the food has you when you ingest it inside yourself, whereas other averas might be more external to your body. And he quotes the pasuk, Yashem Yitein Chochma, that if you want Chochma, you have to keep to a kosher diet completely. And the Meshech Chochma brings this down in Parshas Vayeschanon. He says, Dvorim Hasurim Shematamte Mesalev, Vafilim Ochlin Beheta. Even if that food was eaten in a permitted way, you might be Ones Force, it might be Pikuach Nefesh. Nevertheless, Lochain Yechalel Shabbos Lechole, we break Shabbos Lechole with all these malachas. And you can't get that nice, cling-filled, shiny, wrapped £3.99 chicken from Tesco because it's going to defile your heart. However easy it is to do it and however quick it might be for the chole, if it's not going to take too long, you nevertheless go through all those malachas. And there's a perush, Einei Shmuel, which is on Agoda. He was Rav Shmuel Aaron Rubin, up based in of Korchin. He died in 1887. He said, even if you're shogeg, even if you didn't know, you say, well, I couldn't help it. I didn't know that this was treif. It might have had a faulty heksher written on it. He says, if you would eat poison, however small it is, then however it's b'shogeg, you didn't intend to eat the poison, but it's still going to poison you. It can still kill you. So that's why he explains that eating treifa food can be matamtein the leif, even if it's shogeg. And the Ramban infers this in Shmos Chaf Beis, where he says, Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, the posuk is written close to the posuk about treifa, because of the effect which treifa has on your kedusha. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer Emes Yaakov, even if what you eat is allowed, even if there's a pikuach nefesh, it's still matamtein. But there was a scandal in Monsey some 12 years ago with lots of treifa chickens posing as kosher. Somebody fraudulently put hasherim on them, and it was a very distraught experience for the population there. They had to change their kelim, and they were asking about teshuva. Can you do teshuva for eating machonim asurim? Can you do it? So the Ben Ish Chai was quoted to give comfort to people, and there in his Shalas Teshuvas Rav Poalim, there in Chelek Dal Simravov, he says, if one has no idea, if one is forced, one dad it beheta, then he says the tumma does not enter the person. And the Briskarov wrote that anything which is eaten beheta is not matamtein, where we've got the category of onus or pikuach nefesh. But there are the opinions. There are opinions which say, afal pikein, even if you've done everything you can, there is still an idea of timtum.
So it means that the people upon the Holocaust is not so affected according to one of the opinions.
I can't hear.
People from the Holocaust were not affected. We say the
well, it's the same idea. Yes. People from the Holocaust were onus, and then we will rely on these opinions like the Ben Ish Chai and say there was no timtum alev, and they were going through Gehinnom on earth. But there is that idea that there is a timtum even if one has no idea, or one has no choice. Pikuach nefesh. So you can ask the question, what about the din of bittul? So we know that if a bit of milk goes into a meaty soup, then it's bottle in 60th, there's a din of bottle barov. So is there a din of bittul by something which is matamtei mes halev? It's an interesting question which is addressed by the Taz in Yeredea Kufyud Beis, Siftes. He says, something which is bottle is not matamtei. We do apply the halacha there. So that if something has become nullified because of the one in 60, you don't have to worry. And that is the view also of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, brought down in Sefer Halichas Olam. But if a person wants to be machmir, something is bottle in 60, but a person wants to say, I'm not going to. Although the Pisrei Tshuva says that a person who neglects this din of 1 in 60 is going against the teachings of our Chachomim. Our Chachomim say 1 in 60 is bottle. But nevertheless, there are those who are machmeh. He compares it in the Shutz Mishnah Halachas in Tchelek Zayin to the eating of a heart. The heart of an animal. It's a kosher animal. But the Gemara says it's kosher l'shikcha. It can make you forget. And the Ari HaKodesh says that you do not eat the heart of an animal because that is the essence of its life. And the Ari HaKodesh actually went as far as saying that you should not eat any meat unless you know where that meat has come from, whether there was a gilgal of a rosha inside it. So that if a rosha's soul was transmigrated into an animal, then the Ari had the power to determine whether that meat had in it the neshama of a rosha. Well, I don't think you will get any guarantees in the local butcher shops about such ingredients not being contained in the meat, but that is something to be interested about, and the Steich Hemed brings this down in his Mareches Achila right at the beginning. There are shilas.
You might be doing that Gilgul Atoiva by eating him. Seriously, if he was brought into the world, back into the world to be shechted, to be eaten.
I'll leave that to the Mekubalim. Thank you. There are practical shilas about if a child is a special needs child and has to go into a home where the food is not kosher, and there's this balance. You know, the child needs to go to this home for its training. Maybe it become more intelligent. Maybe it can improve. And on the other hand, do we allow such food to be served to a Jewish child who's below the age of Bar Mitzvah? And this is a drasha in the Shutz Chasam Sofer, Aruch Chaim Siman Pei Gimel. He says up to the age of 13, or 12 for a girl, okay. But he says a chiddush that if there is a timtum halev arising from the food, better leave the child as a shoter rather than try to give enough encouragement and training and education to that child that it should not be in the category of shoter. But the Igros Moshe also discusses this with Moshe Feinstein, then Chelek Bei Siman Pei Ches. He says we do not be machil biyodayim. We won't actually feed the child with our hands, but if below the age of 13 it is given to him, and the question is it a full shoteh or not a proper shoteh? Is it just on the spectrum? The practical shilas have to be forwarded to one's own competent rabbinical authority. The Minchas Osher says if there's a chance that the child will recover, he writes in Siman Mem Zayin, then it's okay, because the whole concept of Timtum is not a din, but is Midas Chasidus, as I state in the Minchas Osher. So what are the remedies? What if somebody did ingest Macholos Asuros? Or what about a Ger Tzedek, who all his life might have been eating chaza? Does that, the leiv, does that mean that there is always that spiritual defilement? Well, as far as the Ger is concerned, the Pnei Ashur gives comfort to the Ger Tzedek, saying, a Ger is kakotan shenoy ladomi, a Ger is like a newborn child, so the Ger doesn't have to worry about what he has or she had eaten in the past. What about a Baal Tshuva? So the Baal Tshuva can't undo the past, obviously. Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote that such a person should learn in detail Hilchos Macholos Asuros as a tikkun. And he also writes that if a bocher in yeshiva finds difficulty in his learning, then he should probe into what he's been eating. He should check whether he's been eating Macholos Asuros and whether the food he has been eating has been meistered correctly. And unfortunately, says the Pri Chodosh, he writes in Yerodeo Pei Aleph that nowadays people are not sufficiently careful. They're not careful what they're feeding the children. Yotzim l'tabus ra, and they get a bad nature. Verovheim azeponim, and that is how the children are becoming chutzpedik. Azeponim shebedar. So that's the remedy. Check what the children are eating. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes about this in Halicha Shlomo, Sirisimei Tshuva. He says, when we see lots of intermarriages going on, we have to ask, what have these people been eating? In particular, Bishul Akum, which is in any case to prevent intermarriage, he says Bishul Akum has an effect on the person's life. So that means even Dinim Darabonon, even the rabbinical laws have an effect on creating a Timtum Halev. The Zantzer Rebbe, the Shutz Divrei Chaim, notes that there were some communities who were using unqualified Shochtim. And as a result of that, many children were going off the derech. We can't understand this logically, But this is the mystical aspect of Yiddishkeit, which is brought into the halachic framework, which is what's so amazing about it. And talking about Shochtim, there's a story which is told by the Brisker Rav about the Rambam. Once he visited the country Yemen, and there he met a well-known Rav, a Choshever Rav, and they became friends, and they corresponded with each other afterwards. And one day, this Rav from Yemen wrote to the Rambam a letter to Spain, and he asked him a philosophical question about Yiddishkeit, and the Rambam was astonished at this question. He was astonished because he felt that such a question could only come from a person who had kefira. Somebody, there was something wrong with him, with his hashkofa. And so initially, the Rambam decided he's not going to answer the question. But then after a while, he thought, okay, I will write back to him. And he wrote back to him and he said to him, do me a favor, check your shochtim. Check their competence. It turned out that the shochtim who were there were not doing their jobs properly. And for 13 years, people there were eating nevela meat. Nevertheless, there is comfort for the tzaddikim. The people who strive to become tzaddikim, there's a special protection given to them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a Tosfos in Chul in Daf Hei, that the tzaddikim get a special protection that they will not come to do an Isur, even inadvertently. And that is a bracha which is given to the tzaddikim. There's a story told about Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, who was the Mashkiach of Mir. He was once making Havdalah on a Motzei Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, and he lifted up the besomim and he couldn't feel any smell coming from them. Other people present could. So he thought, well, maybe his sense of smell has become weak. But he realized from smelling other things that he had a sense of smell. But he couldn't smell these besomim. And even after Pesach, those same besomim, he just couldn't smell them. So they carried out an investigation and they discovered that those besomim had been soaked in vinegar, which contained chometz. So there was an automatic barrier HaKadosh Baruch Hu was placed on him that he was not able to benefit from chometz. Conversely, if a Jewish woman nurses a non-Jewish child, there's even a source to say how that can enhance the future of that non-Jewish child. There's a Tosfos in Avodah Zorah, quite amazing, Tosfos Daf Yud Amud Beis, which talks about Rebbe's mother was nursing Antoninus, who became the Roman emperor. And when he grew up, he was so inspired to learn Torah, he gave himself a bris, and he was Megayer. Tosfos there says this, and this is a result from the nursing which took place from Rebbe's mother. And the Chofetz Chaim, the story is told about the Chofetz Chaim, who was once sitting at a meal and he was served some fish. Now, what can be wrong with fish? If it's got fins and scales, then it's kosher. No problem. He wouldn't eat it. He declined the fish. He didn't even know why. Instinctively, he felt he cannot eat this fish. So they carried out inquiries and they discovered that the fish which was sold in the market was sold fraudulently. That one of the partners of the business had been cheated. And as a result of that, it was regarded by the Chofetz Chaim as macholos asuros. And it's interesting because this idea of eating something coming from what was stolen is given attention to by Rabbi Yehuda Zev Siegel, Zeicher Tzadik Livrocha, who was the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. And there in Parshas Shemini, in his Sefer Inspiration and Insight, he talks about Moshe Rabbeinu and Tzimtzum HaLev and how it affects us spiritually. And then he writes, forbidden foods of a different sort. He says, there is a form of food that is not included in the dietary laws, but can nevertheless be called ma'acholos asuros. He quotes the Bnei Yisoschar in the name of his teacher, the Rebbe of Rimanov. He says, we sometimes find that Jewish children, although they have a special chayin and charm and grace in the early youth, they lose it when they get older. Whilst that might be attributed to a variety of factors, he says, the Rebbe said, the prime factor, these children have been fed unkosher food. And what does unkosher food mean, he says? Meaning food that was purchased with money that was earned dishonestly. As the years go on, the given child continues to be fed such food, and that chayin disappears from the child. He says, as in every area of life, the Jew's monetary affairs must be conducted in strict accordance with Shulchan Aruch. He must be scrupulously honest in his dealings with Jew and Gentile alike. I'm aware of Diane Rappaport's share yesterday about Gezer Lakum, that the Shulchan Aruch explicitly prohibits it, and this also applies to government funds, says Rav Siegel. The noblest intentions do not permit taking a single dishonest cent from either the government or private individual. If we want to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to sanctify Hashem's name, the way is to accomplish this by strictly adhering to the Torah's teachings, and those who admire us will then follow these teachings. The story is told about Rav Munk, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, the Rav of Munk's shul, who would very carefully note down on his tax return every time he did a pidyon haben to declare that he received as income these 5 silver coins. That is how scrupulous he was to make sure. And this is in line, and we can ask the question, are we contaminating our children with money which is earned dishonestly? That is a question we leave open, but we have Rav Siegel's advice that the best way forward, not to feed macholos asuros to the young generation, is not simply to be careful what heksha the meat has, but to know where the money is coming from, to make sure that it is spent correctly, that those foods are also not called macholos asuros.